Welcome to Ich bin ein Hamburger on FSK 93.0 Hamburg Radio. Here again with me, Clappy, with
Susan,
and with co-host Susan.
Guess where we are?
And we're on the Ich bin ein Hamburger on the road or on the plane. I don't know.
What?
We haven't come up with a term for where we're in exotic locations doing the show.
On the Lamburger. Wir sind on the Lamburger.
That works.
Yeah.
So we're coming to you from Sydney, Australia.
Your hometown, your old stomping ground.
My hometown. Mm-hmm. In a place called Balmain, it's very nice. Inner city suburb of, and we're here with
two very special guests.
Very, very special guests. one, my lovely sister.
Hello.
Jenny.
Hello. Hello.
Let's say hi to all the hamburgers out there.
Hello, hamburgers.
And David is also here.
Hello.
Who is, they've both been living here in Bam. Well, Jenny's natively from Sydney, like me. Mm-hmm. But David's also been living here for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And how many were you just saying? It's like almost 30 years
28?
Or something. 28.
27,
yeah. Yeah, a bit of Deutsch.
Yeah.
We're going to Deutsch bracket. Yes, yes.
Die Gates Hamburgers. Guten Abend.
They're out there.
Yeah, they're out.
They're in. Yeah. They're in their car, and they're like, "Who are these crazy people? Maybe we should change the normal German show." But you know,
we're not being paid for this, so you know, we'll just do whatever we want.
Quite rightly.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining us today on FSK, which is the the best community radio station in Hamburg. I would say.
Absolutely. No.
Maybe the two, I don't know if it's more the 2SER or the FBI of Hamburg. Uh-huh. Maybe 2SER. It's probably like 2SER.
Well, I don't get that reference in neither. So, is anyone else in Germany.
So Sydney Community Radio, they have 2SER.
You stand there.
Yeah.
Bugs. Perfect.
Like a native speaker.
Yeah. Got the tone down and everything.
Native of Blue from London.
Yes.
So the first segment. So we often do news. So the start. So this regular format of the show is we start with the local news. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about this earlier. The strangeness of Australian news with, you know, all the big happenings in the world at the moment. But the main issue was a cricketer. Yes. So a cricket player lost his hat.
Oh, my God.
So this is the number one news story of the day in Sydney.
When we were driving over here, it was on a billboard, and he was, photographed with the hat. And it was like, nobody worry at all. Like everyone can just, like, take, you know, a breath of relief because he found his hat.
but I think the really tragic component there was the fact that there was all this obsession about his hat and the fact that he'd lost his children's Christmas presents. No one gave a shit.
Oh, so they were also in the bag.
That's very Australian. That's very Australian.
People were more obsessed about his hat.
All right. So this requires some backstory, especially for listeners. So, you know, cricket is this sport that is beloved in Australia. And the main player, David Warner, every player, when they start playing for Australia, they get a special hat called a baggy green hat. And you're meant to keep this for your entire career. So it becomes very special and precious.
It's like it becomes your lucky hat after a while,
yes,
I think.
Yes. Yeah.
But he lost it.
So what's the story? So he had it in his backpack.
He had it in a backpack, and the backpack was in another bag. And they travelled across the country from Melbourne to Sydney. To play, because they were playing in the Melbourne test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were travelling to the Sydney test. And in transit, he said that his bag went missing. The backpack went missing out of the big bag.
Oh, somebody took it out.
That's what he was suggesting, but we're not sure.
See, I assumed that it was like, you should never check, like when you're flying or something, don't ever check your house keys.
Yeah.
Don't ever check something like your medication or something that you can't do without.
With you.
Yes, something that you can't replace. Never check it.
Yes.
Yeah, have it on your person. I thought that was what it was, but if somebody stole it, that's like...
Well, we don't know. We don't know. It's all a bit mysterious because...
I think he left it down the pub.
Along with his kids' Christmas presents.
Yeah, he might
yep.
That's We're what not really sure. Happened. It's all very mysterious. The whole thing. Because the hat has been found now.
Yeah.
So, but they haven't told explained the circumstances where the hat...
Maybe it was shameful. Yeah. Maybe his mistress stole it or something and then demanded money to get it back.
But the moral of the story is there's not so much going down in Australia that everyone has to worry. If the top news story cricket dude losing his hat.
Yeah.
Plastered on billboards.
No, I was saying, it felt like something that would be published in my local town's newspaper, or lost dog found or something, or you know.
Welcome to Australia.
Yeah, no.
And it's a country of 20 million. Yeah,
yeah,
26 million.
26 million. Sorry, 26 million. It's gone up since I left.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have a first segment. So that's the major news. I don't know what's the other big news. In Australia.
We're winning in the cricket.
Yeah, more cricket news. I mean, yeah. It sounds so quaint. Yeah,
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, the restaurants once again were all empty by 9:30 at night. But
that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we're winning in the problems, cricket. Yeah. That's fine.
But I'm going to have this thing. It's called, I wanted to avoid calling it Mythbusters. But I'm calling it tail testing because these are like things about Australia, common tales about Australia that are common in Germany that everyone will say. If you mention Australia, these claims will often come up. So we're going to test them here today.
Okay.
It's like myth busting.
Okay.
But I call it tail testing because I don't want to step on it. Also because I kind of look like the Mythbusters guy. So I don't want to be confused with him. We're calling it tail testing.
You might say in true Australian kind of language, truth or bullshit.
Truth or bullshit. Yeah, maybe bullshit. I should have. Yeah, okay. So let's
truth or bullshit.
Truth or bullshit.
Yeah.
All right. So, so the number one thing as soon as you talk about Australia and Germany is all the spiders were going to die.
This was my first impression, first of all. I lifted up the toilet seat. Like, as soon as when I went to his mother's house, when he picked me up from the airport, I checked the door. I was like, I wouldn't let him drive until I checked under the sun flap to see if there's a giant spider.
She really checked the sun flap for spiders. But she thought they'd just be everywhere. She thought she shook out her shoes as well.
Shoes? Seriously. He's had two in here in the last week.
Rory is Jenny and David's son.
Yeah. Those, oh my gosh.
For those listening.
Wait, were they the venomous spiders?
No, they're not venomous. They're just big.
Huntsman
spiders. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, as somebody with arachnophobia,
I sent her the photo of the huntsman.
Susan really had to, mentally prepare herself.
Yeah, so,
for this trip.
So Susan was mentally preparing to come here, and I know a Romanian guy that he denied a scholarship to study in Australia because he's scared of spiders.
Oh my gosh!
And he studied in Germany instead.
Well, he was studying veterinary science.
But is that they are seen in
Spiders, spiders are here, right? But you know where the spiders are going to be, right? It's not like they
I'm trying to surprise you.
So don't go putting your hands in the woodpile because there's going to be spiders in the woodpile, you know? If you're in the garden and there's pot plants or something, don't put your hands near the pot plants because the spider, that's where a spider is going to be.
Okay.
But, you're sitting here having dinner, a spider is not going to jump on you. It's not going to happen.
So you just be aware of...
the dangerous locations.
But our son, Rory, who's 17, he put his school shoes on the other week and... Yeah, he was just sitting. Well, he was sitting over there on the sofa, and I was sitting at the table here. And Rory just went, and I'm like, What? And he's like, there's a huntsman spider in my shoe.
Watch out for the shoes. Yeah. Okay. You made me feel crazy for shaking out my shoes.
No. That's a real thing to do. So it's happened twice in the last week. But the huntsman spiders are not venomous.
Mm-hmm.
They're friendly and they eat cockroaches. Mm-hmm. They are your friends.
Yeah.
So you just give them names and you let them be on their way.
They actually are venomous. It's just that they won't really hurt you.
They can't. Mm-hmm. They won't kill you. You won't die.
They are venomous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
And do you know anyone that's ever been stung by a venomous spider?
Yes, when I was working at IBM, one of my colleagues ended up spending her wedding night in hospital.
Whoa.
And she got bit by a white back.
White tail spider?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Watson's Bay or somewhere, she, I think. Mm.
I just...
During the wedding?
So they were on the beach and then same thing. Left.
Ah, it was because of beach wedding.
Shoes and blah, blah, blah.
Okay,
so,
your shoes.
Wait a second. So,
do you take... I do!
that's exactly what happened.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And ironically...
Are they still married?
Amusingly, no.
Okay.
But she also was a Jenny. No.
Okay.
25 years ago, but she spent her wedding night in hospital.
There you go. I did not know that.
She was fine. She made a full recovery. Didn't die. Just relaxed everyone.
But the world's biggest funnel web spider was found in Newcastle yesterday.
Whoa.
Oh, how big was it?
I don't know.
The funnel web is the most venomous spider, or one of the most venomous.
How big is that?
Like a tea plate size.
Like a saucer.
I've seen photos and for people who don't know.
Again, on a positive note, no one's died from a bite from a funnel web in the last 25 years.
Yes. Because the anti-venom is so good.
Again, don't put your hands in the woodpile. Okay. Don't put your hands, you kind of know where they hang out. Don't dig up things in the garden because, they're there.
Okay.
But a huntsman spider can come in your house, but, no big deal. Funnel web spider, no.
Mm.
They stay outside.
Yeah. sorry. Now that I know they're in this home because we're sitting in your home.
I'm a bit scared.
Well, you have huntsman here. And they're really good because they kill all your mozzies.
They kill the cockroaches. They kill all the other bugs. So they're good. Yeah. They're your friends.
Well, what about snakes?
Snakes. Well, where we were last week in the country.
Snakes.
If you go for a bushwalk, you've just got to be really loud. Like, you've got to stamp your feet. Like, be really loud because... if you're loud, the snakes will go away.
Yeah.
If you're quiet,
then you can surprise one.
You
don't
want to
stumble on one, and that's not a good thing. So just be loud, and because the snakes are as scared of you as you are.
They're not hunting you.
They're not going to come and get you. But if you're walking in long grass and you're not careful, they could be there. So all of these things is just be aware.
Hmm.
And
be alert, not alarmed.
Yeah.
No. Alarm. Is that something that people say?
Oh, this is a terrorist. That was a terrorist thing. No, after 9/11, they started this concept of be alert, not alarmed.
Okay.
Against about terrorism in Australia.
Interesting.
No, about terrorism.
Well, yes, but you apply that to a lot of things.
Same, but different.
Mm-hmm.
And the other myth is that as soon as you... get out of the plane, you get out of the airport, there's just kangaroos everywhere.
Yep.
I frequently queue
behind one in my local bank.
I mean, to be honest, this might be an embarrassing thing to say, but this morning I was in his room with the blinds open, and I was just staring out at the street, and I saw what looked like a dog. It didn't have a collar on. It was kind of like a wiry, thin dog. And I was like, Clappy, is that a dingo? come to the window. Is that a dingo right there? It doesn't have a collar. Yeah. It looks like a wild... It wasn't... I saw a dingo at the zoo today. We all went to the zoo, but I was like, that was either a very skinny, wiry dingo or somebody's dog that was just got loose.
Yeah.
yeah. for a second there.
Yeah, no, like... move on.
yeah, but.
Although, in saying that, there was a kangaroo that was jumping over the harbour bridge. Probably what?
Wallaby. Was it was a wallaby, don't exaggerate.
Was it? Was yeah, it a wallaby?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm.
Three or four years ago.
Pre-COVID. It was literally jumping over the harbour bridge.
It hopped over the harbour bridge, yeah, from south to north. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, and so the police had to come and get it because it was disrupting traffic.
So it was not using the pedestrian track. It was in the road.
And you know, actually, talking about things Australian, holding up the traffic
is the worst.
Is
thing
a capital offence. So, you know, I'd be very, very surprised if that wallaby's still alive. Probably not taken out by New South Wales finest, the boys in blue. But
anyway, yes, that's a real thing that happened. But yeah, okay. It was kind of funny. It was on the news.
Wow.
And wasn't fake news. That was real news.
That was real news.
Yeah.
And Susan had a question of whether there's any kind of monsters like the
cryptids. Are there Australian cryptids like Bigfoot?
So there is what's the call starts with B.
There's a bunyip.
Bunyip, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's bunyips and there's
what is a bunyip meant to be?
Nobody knows.
Oh. But what is it meant to look like?
Is
it meant to be like Bigfoot?
I imagine it's like the Gruffalo. Have you seen the Gruffalo?
No.
Oh, the Gruffalo. Yes.
You haven't seen the Gruffalo?
No.
Oh, man. The Gruffalo has...
Can you describe, its features?
What is a Gruffalo?
Well, the Gruffalo...
We need one of the children to tell us.
The Gruffalo has poisonous spikes on its back, purple.
Yeah, and a big... Big thing on its nose, and big furry tusks and claws.
Anyway, if you after this, Google the Gruffalo, and a bunyip is probably similar to that. So it's a big furry thing with whatever. But in Penrith and the Blue Mountains, they talk about the panther. Like the football team is called the Penrith Panthers, and they talk about this mythical panther that exists. Like at the base of the Blue Mountains, and no one's ever sure if it's real or not. It's a bit like Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we thought. If you call it, it's called a cryptid.
A cryptid is the term for these creatures.
Like Loch Ness Monster and stuff.
They thought that the platypus was a cryptid for a long time.
Yeah, they did.
It's real. Or like this creature in Africa that has the horns and the stripes. They thought that was they thought it was a made up animal for a long time.
All right. Yeah. So that's the wildlife aspect.
Yes.
So what about the people aspect? So there's this belief, I would say, when you bring up Australia, that everyone's very easygoing.
I thought it was still the Wild West in a way. Like, I really thought, because, I mean, the way I grew up, I learned that it was just, settled by criminals and it was still kind of like a Wild West town. And I came here and they were not chill.
Suburbia.
They were not chill at all. I mean, actually, I just had to admit that I brought in some almonds and then they let me through, but... Yeah.
Did you get to keep your almonds?
I did.
Oh my god!
No, I really did my due diligence, and I looked up the actual all the foods, and they said if it's raw almonds, you can't bring them in, but if they're roasted, you can. So I left my raw almonds in California and brought the roasted ones. I bought roasted ones. I don't want any trouble.
My sister did the first time she came here, I think, or the second time she came here. Second time, maybe. She did attempt to smuggle a whole bunch of cheese here. She was living in Paris at the time, so she brought a whole bunch of very, very nice brie over for us. And she got busted.
And they're not allowed to bring it in? Because I've declared cheese before and they've been like, it seems all right.
This is the turn of the century.
Right. Okay.
This is 1999.
Okay, maybe that.
And raw milk, brie and what have you. So she got busted by the beagle. The customs people ate all her.
They eat in front of her?
No, not in front. That would be...
It's your punishment.
Probably would have had it for lunch.
Had it for lunch.
Adventures in the Land of Oz, Ishvin Ein Hamburger, in Australia, FSK Radio 93.0.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right.
No.
But easygoing people, depends. Yes. Depends. Well, how serious do you want to get? Like, we can get serious if you want. But
we can get serious. We can get serious as you want.
We've got very serious on this show over time.
Are we lighthearted or are we serious?
No, it's a bullshit. It's a truth or bullshit kind of. So we want to hear the truth, you know.
Because the thing is, and I'm a big Twitter user, so someone on Twitter once said to me about Australia that we didn't fight for freedom. We got it for good behavior.
That's a nice line.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing about Australia being, you know, laid back and blah, 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 were actually very law-abiding.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, and David included, who have come from other countries, have said that Australia is, like, we're very law, like, they're surprised at how law-abiding we are.
And so
we've got this, like, reputation of being this larrikin kind of blah, blah, blah. But that's all kind of, like, in the myth of the truth or bullshit thing, that's in the bullshit category, right? And that we actually comply a lot more than people think we do. And it's because we didn't fight for freedom.
Yeah.
We got it for good behavior.
Yeah.
And so it's this whole, like, yeah, you've got it. Like, the rules are there. And David and I were discussing this the other day. Like, as long as you comply to the rules, you can be as big an idiot as you like, as long as you're complying with the rules. But if you're outside the rules, it doesn't matter if you're outside the rules for good reasons or not, you're outside the rules, and that's a bad thing.
It's this binary
decision-making. But if you're inside the rules, you can be as big an idiot as you want, as long as you're inside the rules.
So you're playing.
So, yeah, so we kind of.
By the,
yeah,
in Australia, we love rules.
He
used different language.
I expressed it rather I expressed it rather more colourfully. In the context.
You can be as colourful as you like, don't worry.
So in the context of the Johnny Bairstow dismissal in the Ashes last season.
Where it's a cricket reference. Or Susan and the other listeners. Maybe we don't need to go into this whole story.
Well, no, but it's really pertinent to what we discussed. And I won't bore everyone with the details, but it was around what was done was technically
within the rules.
Within the rules.
But in English parlance, it didn't stop that being something. Oh, choose my words really carefully here. Absolutely despicable and appalling and just really shit, basically. So the Australian inference would be it was in the rules, so don't call me for having done that. Whereas I would call you for having done that, notwithstanding the fact that you were following the rules. So it's a really it's a really quite profound inference of as to what guides people's behavior. It's not okay just to be following the rules if you're still a complete.
I think that this is also something that you see a lot in German culture is like they are sticklers for rules, but they can also like just be like total assholes.
We're
talking about the same body part deep down.
You're
talking about the same hole.
Like the most malicious, malicious person. And, but if you know, are technically acting within the rules, then
it's the same, but different. Yes.
Kein Problem.
Verstehst
nicht. And that is, in a way, it's the same here. So, you know, we just drove back from the country the other day, and as a British person that's also spent time driving in France and Germany and Spain and Italy, where we have much lower fatalities on the road, right? Everyone here is obsessed about the speed limit. And the worst thing you can do is break the speed limit. Yes, you can drive like a complete arsehole, but it's okay because you're under the speed limit.
Yes.
Yeah, but you're like a child. You shouldn't even have a driving license.
Yeah.
You're not going faster than the speed limit, therefore it's okay. And so, I think we're on the same.
It's infuriating, wrong.
But I've noticed, because I spent some time in Sweden over the years, and I noticed similarities between Sweden and Australia. In this rule following
nanny
and also
state.
Like respect for the state as sort of something that's taking care of you.
Whereas
maybe the US and I think Germany is also the same, where it's kind of like a battle, not battle against the state, but like kind of dislike of the state being there trying to control
well,
you.
Well, that's a very English thing, of course.
Whereas I notice in Sweden and Australia is very like, the state's there to take care of me. And they bring in their whatever rules. And it's like, well, I have to do that because, mummy and daddy know what's best for me.
That's interesting.
Yes, I was having this conversation with a guy who's lived in Australia for, 30 years maybe, but he's Serbian. And he left...
I kill you.
No. he left Serbia in the time of the war and stuff like that. And he said during the lockdowns that he was surprised at how acquiescent the Australians were with the lockdowns. Like, we just complied. Like, everyone just did the thing. And he's like, what are you guys doing? You know, I thought...
You were like...
Blah, blah, blah.
Wild West, run your own thing.
We're not wild. We're not wild.
And also, when I was very, so in Germany, it was like... You know, we had lockdowns and restaurants were closed and you had to mask up and everything. But they never had the military come to your home to make sure that you were inside.
That was a special gift to the Australian state, it would seem, exclusively for the people of Western Sydney.
Yeah, so where mum lives.
It didn't happen in the East.
Really showed this division between
in the West and suburbs of Sydney.
Why do you think that was?
Because people here wouldn't cop it.
I see.
Because the class division's always there in Sydney, but it's not so obvious all the it's obvious, but not.
So Western Sydney's more working class?
Yeah, all right.
So we're just trying to give context.
It's more working class. People here are better educated. It's where most professionals live.
Yeah.
And it's like anywhere else.
But also
else.
More
it's
multicultural.
It's also...
Western Sydney.
Yeah.
It's also where you're going to get a shitload more attitude. So, again, back to this point about acquiescence. Over there... People, by and large, despite the fact they drive like shit and, a whole bunch of other behavioural considerations that might be interesting, when it comes to a confrontation with the law, forces of law and
order, take it.
But it'll be us that basically say, no, sorry, excuse me, Mr. Policeman. Fuck off. You are wrong. You're outside your bounds.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, no, completely.
Compared to the US, I feel like working class people, in poorer states, that they'd just be, completely buck all these regulations during COVID. But maybe if they tried to pull something like that in a rich area, they'd get more. Do you know who I am? I'm going to call my lawyer. Sort of attitudes.
It's not just do you know who I am. It's also that people will hear. Mm-hmm. People will. Certainly, I will confront a law officer and say, no, sorry, you're factually incorrect, and stop.
But that's the thing. They're more aware of the facts and the legal situation.
I feel like that.
Whereas if you're immigrant and stuff, you don't know the legal situation.
You don't have the courage to be able to confront
it's a lack of
a cop,
factual awareness of the situation you're in.
One of the other things that's interesting, though, because I've kind of walked both sides of the fence with this, is that, yes, you can say, the emigres from elsewhere might say, you're very acquiescent with regard to, say, the COVID thing. But if you look at somewhere like the UK, they've done a whole bunch of number crunching now on the number of elevated deaths occurred since COVID started. And they're running at 250,000 people. Since COVID started till now, 250,000 people have died that wouldn't have died if COVID hadn't started. So on the one hand, you know, you don't take what the state says for granted and just go, yeah, dib, dib, dob, and for sure, you know. But by the same token, if someone's spent 15 or 20 years studying medicine and is a subject matter expert in his mm-hmm. field, health in this case, whereas I'm just a dude that's like middle ranking in IT, mm-hmm. then I'm going to have the humility to actually trust his or her expertise, mm-hmm. as opposed to just doing the Trumpian thing, which is,
I know
well,
best.
Well, my opinion's better than your opinion. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. It's
oh, it's just a flu. You're scared.
Tough enough.
Yeah. No, I should wear a mask. And, you know, like, I mean, oh my God. I got my gym, which is a lovely gym. The guy that runs it during the week is a Lebanese German. Interesting combination, but he's
Lebanese German Australian.
Yeah. No, not Australian.
Lebanese German in Australia.
Yes.
Yeah. LDIA.
He can't get his visa because
it's very complicated.
Bureaucracy, and it's ridiculous. Okay. So he's been a productive member of society here for a decade. You mm-hmm. know? But he's one of those conspiracy theory nut jobs that, you know, said, oh yeah, wearing masks is just a complete waste of time and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And he was a lovely guy, and a lot of time for him. I've known him for 5 or 6 years, but he just spouts this stuff as if he's an expert.
And yeah.
He's the guy that kind of sweeps the floor and looks after the equipment in the gym, and, you know,
yeah.
does. And
I mean,
so
I think, yeah.
It's really interesting because on the one hand, I think it's important to have a respect for expertise when that expertise is genuine, and most mm-hmm. of the times, you know, it is. But on the other hand, how do we stop the state saying they know best when in many places
yeah.
they
yeah, I guess it's like
don't.
Respect for science, but then yes, if science is some kind state. Of like
yeah.
captured
well
by the state and
well
misused.
Done. Well done. Yeah, brilliantly. Or, yeah, yeah,
do you think it
yeah.
also has something so, to do with if the science or what's being like the narrative is matching what your worldview is? Like you, I don't know,
yeah,
have
yeah,
distrust
yeah, yeah,
for the
yeah.
government. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
of course COVID is
well,
a hoax.
Exactly
and they,
yeah.
yeah,
no, precisely.
You
both said in about 15 seconds what I was trying to say really badly in about 3 minutes, which was that
no worries,
you know, that respect for honestly and objectively projected science
mm-hmm.
but also the thing that's really fascinating now is that there's so much information, there's so much data, and there's so much everything. It's just like you wait for your own boat to come
exactly
along,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll jump on that one, it might be bullshit
mm-hmm.
and all the other boats
yeah.
are going in the other direction, but I like that boat, you know. So mm-hmm.
or just flipping TV channels, like which reality yeah, yeah. do I feel yeah. like today
exactly.
and then I tune to my channel and it gives you
so how do you count
your reality?
How do you ever count?
I mean,
that?
I think this is a global issue that everyone, yeah, but I would say.
Is,
but I'd say Australia maybe has it less, but it's hard because it's just my
But this is what
perception.
I've spoken to my kids about, seriously, because I was talking to Imogen the other day and we were talking about.
Our daughter's a Swiftie, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love Taylor Swift. Okay. We were talking about song lyrics, right? And how misheard song lyrics. And, you know, they're called mondegreens, right? And, you know, you've sung these song lyrics incorrectly for 30 years. And my daughter was saying, well, can't you just, like, couldn't you just Google them? And it's like, well, no, because in 1985, there was no Google.
Mm.
She's like, yeah, you couldn't Google anything. And it's
yeah.
like, yes, it's we couldn't Google. There was no Google. Google mm-hmm. didn't exist. And that kind of blew her mind a little bit.
I mean, she tried to Google the photos from great, 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 great grandma earlier, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't quite work. But anyway, and then she was saying to me, because as we were walking up the street, she was saying, were people smarter back in the day? And I said, well, not necessarily smarter. It's just we had to remember different things.
Yeah.
Because we had to remember stuff, and you guys don't have to remember stuff because you can Google it.
Mm-hmm.
But the key difference is for you guys is you have to be able to tell what's truth from what's fiction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Truth or bullshit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what the older generations didn't have to do.
Yeah.
Because if you had it in a book, you knew it was true.
Yeah.
So you just believe what was in the book.
But the thing, all right,
but
thing
also,
is.
But also, do you think that it like, I don't know, like that's why like elderly people are more likely to fall for scams. Absolutely. Because they don't have
absolutely
this, like,
bullshit detector.
Yeah.
Because what the young kids have is that because they're constant in that bullshit detector. They're in that world is they have to be able to tell what's real from what's fake.
Yeah.
Mm.
Every day, like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a scam? Is this like, am I being scammed? And they are so attuned to it that they can do it. Our mum, you know, Clappy and my mum, she can't deal with that because like what's in the newspaper is true, right? Well, maybe not, but try and tell her that it's not true. And she's like, but it's in the paper. It has to be true. So it's a different skill set.
But is that technology or is that?
That's what they need to do. So it's not it's not that people before were smarter or people now have to be smarter. It's just a different
skill set.
Different skill set that they need.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's more empowering because before you had the elite just telling you the truth.
Well, you read the books, right?
Yeah. Whereas now you have you have to make up your own mind in a way.
Yeah, but you still have to be smart enough to be able to pick what the fake is.
Yeah.
Yes, but the information you can receive is from anyone.
Yes.
So you're not necessarily receiving information from the powerful people that control a printing press.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then you can base that whatever information you like to determine what you think.
Yeah, but you have to be smart enough though to tell the real stuff from the fake stuff.
Yeah.
And you have to know enough to know that.
But you're not.
Hang on. Let's just back up a sec. What does media ownership concentration look like now as opposed to 20 years ago?
Well, yeah, it's very different now because you have. It's
more concentrated.
More companies are like more giant companies.
Big tech has a lot of power now.
Yes. And stuff,
But you have a competition between like legacy media.
Can I just say something really quickly?
Yeah.
So very recently, Threads, the Twitter alternative became available on
a Meta owned.
Yeah, in the EU. Yeah. And I downloaded it and it feels like what people on Facebook experienced where they got radicalized because I have just been getting rage bait content.
Yeah.
Suggested to me.
Yeah.
Where it's just like super right wing, like sexist like threads or I don't know what you call it, not tweets, posts. And it's like they're trying to drive engagement because they're like, this is going to like trigger something in this user who is like clearly, you know, pretty lefty, feminist, anti-racist. And like, they'll send me or they'll suggest these like really provocative tweets threads, I guess, just to like rile me up. And I feel like this is what radicalized a lot of people on Facebook.
The business model is broken in a way because it's just about engagement rather than quality of content or information or truth or whatever.
It was infuriating.
It's just, and the things that make you angry make you.
I think that their business model did not change because, like, you know, Facebook or Meta was blamed a lot for, you know, people getting radicalized, you know, that led to Trump being elected. Like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is kind of blamed for that a bit because some of the most extreme content got the most engagement and was pushed farther up and was like spread to more people. And they're doing that again with threads because I have never in my life liked a right-wing tweet or thread or whatever. But I'm getting these like infuriatingly like just zero IQ threads that have like the worst opinions I've ever heard. And I'm just like, why would you send this to me?
Like, yeah, that's interesting because I'm a huge Twitter user and like I'm a, you know, David will tell you I'm a Twitter addict.
I'm the widower.
but you
our
know,
new
so,
home coach. We'll put it when it's posted online.
So I'm like, I've been a big Twitter user for quite a few years, and I kind of think like just as a user, like I'm not a social media expert or anything like that, but just as a regular user, I understand how Twitter works, right? I understand what the space Garen has done since he bought it, and I'm not happy about that, but whatever. But the whole threads thing is really interesting because I haven't used threads because, and that was a deliberate decision on my part because I didn't want to give Zucks any more of my data than he already has. Like, yeah. I've been a Facebook user since 2007,
mm-hmm.
but I've cut back on my Facebook usage a lot in the last, like, 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And I've heard from other people that you, both Twitter and Threads, that Threads is a lot of, like, there's a lot of, like, brand stuff, and it's a lot of...
There's a lot of brands have ditched Twitter, right? So they want something.
I mean, maybe that's what
they want
happened.
A new platform to jump on board. I don't know.
And it, but it just, it, from all the people that I know on Twitter who have used Threads, none of them have sold it to me. Like, it's always sounded really lame.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it's a more corporatized version.
Yeah, I don't want to add more, because, you know, LinkedIn is its own beast as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. that's an entirely, and I'm on LinkedIn for professional purposes, and that's fine.
But it's that's sort of but, the but, platform but it's is
a,
about.
Yeah, it's a different,
yeah.
They're all different universes.
Yeah.
And they all work in their own different ways. But the Threads thing, I haven't got clear in my, I haven't used it, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've heard from other people, like, it's like,
but I think all it is a corporate friendly Twitter because Elon's fucked it up for companies.
Yeah.
So they need somewhere to advertise in that kind of space.
Again, I'm technically on Threads, and like, it automatically followed all the Instagram accounts I'm following.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, you know, brands or influencers or something. And every once in a while, it'll suggest, again, an absolutely like revolting tweet from or a thread from somebody that just like, that's why would you show up? And I automatically just block the user just to get the algorithm, get it into the algorithm's head that I don't want to see this, and like, don't try to like bait me into interacting with this. So yeah, don't.
Guess what? Mm-hmm. What I was driving at earlier, because I'm old, is that no, you're not supposed to say. Mm-hmm. No. You're not appealing to my vanity.
It was the truth or bullshit, you know.
No, I made a polite sound and then
I did. Terrible. Right.
Wait, it came out before I processed what you said.
When I was a kid, a million years ago in the 19th century, in what we were taught in the UK was that the price of a newspaper cost about somewhere between 15% and 20% of the cost of producing that newspaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So always and forever, buying a newspaper was not underwrote the cost of employing journalists or anything.
Sure,
else,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But back in the day, in analog days, advertisers were prepared to pay a much, much higher premium for getting their advertisements published than they are now via digital media.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting. So the proportion of revenue that comes in through advertising as opposed to what's generated elsewhere through, you know, putting up a paywall or what have you, has changed. And maybe that's really the thing that needs looking at. How did that happen? Why were advertisers, when we say advertisers, back up a bit, why were manufacturers, retailers, wholesalers, financial institutions much more happy to pay money for analog advertising than they're prepared to pay now? Because I would assert that that's really what's changed the game so fundamentally.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because you used to have to, but it was also like regular punters would pay to have their birth notices in the paper or their death notices in the paper.
At the margins, it's just at the margins.
Yeah, but also
I'm talking about
real estate.
I'm talking about, you know, in the UK, I'm talking about Barclays Bank, Midland Bank, NatWest Bank. I'm talking about major financial institutions. I'm talking about.
But it's also won so many places to spend your marketing budget, right? Yeah, whereas now there's like, it's splintered into like 100 different.
Completely fragmented. That's
because there's so many
point.
Different media.
Yeah. So back in the day, you'd have this, you know, these institutions would be prepared to put a shedload of money into the mainstream media advertising channels.
Yeah.
Now that's no longer the case. Yeah. And absurdly, It's, you know, like something like that, you'd think that their ability to just demand, for the media to demand huge amounts of money from the advertisers, that would be a bad thing. But in fact, what are we left with? You know, if the media cannot generate the same kind of revenue base through its traditional sponsors as it used to be able to, then does that actually benefit us or not? I'm not sure that it does. Because what we're seeing now, I come out to what we were just discussing a few minutes ago, we're seeing that people that will put forward absolutely ridiculous, totally unsustainable positions and demand that they're treated seriously. Whereas I would contend that 30 years ago, it would be, you're a fucking idiot. Like, you know, just come sit in the corner, put the big D hat on and don't talk to us for another week.
And it was published as a thing to everyone. So it's one document, one newspaper to everyone. Exactly. Whereas now you have all this tailored stuff. So you can have as much wacky
your news
content.
Your news and your news and your news and my news.
Because you had to create
all different news.
But you had to create one thing that was publishable that everyone would kind of accept as truth and keep buying. Whereas here it can be like tailored to everyone so you can have whatever extremist content.
Exactly.
And so you can just have a lot more bullshit because people don't know that it's out there.
Precisely. So how do we get back to some kind of objective baseline for what the Fourth Estate is supposed to be about?
But then at the same time you have something like Wikipedia. No one's really questioning Wikipedia as an institution that, but people will accept some level of base truth.
I mean, the fact that Elon Musk is beefing or very briefly beefed with Wikipedia or had something.
Gave it some more cred. Legitimacy.
Well, he said like he would donate like $1 million or $1 billion if they changed their name to Dickipedia.
Really?
He said that? Yeah, he said that.
Oh, man, he's such a teenager.
He's so lame, though. Like, everyone held him up as a genius, and he's just like, he's not a funny man. Like, he's...
He's just a gifted teenager, kind of.
No, he inherited money. That was it. Like, yeah, what's he done? What's he ever actually done?
But all these businesses and stuff, you know.
Yeah, but no, entrepreneur. But hang on, though. Entrepreneur. Was he really? Like Tesla, that he basically bought that from somebody. The SpaceX thing, I don't know the progeny of, but certainly Tesla was nothing to do with it.
Well, SpaceX was before Tesla, so...
Yeah, well, there you go.
SpaceX was kind of the first one after PayPal. He's always piggyback, space has always been his dream, so that was he started SpaceX. And the question you got to ask is like, would all of these things have happened without him? So, and that's
there would have
question.
Been another him.
Yeah,
there would. There's always going to be. He's not unique, right? That's the thing. Like, if you look at those people, right? And it's probably true throughout history as well. But, like, you know, what if you were to, well, let me flip that around. What is Elon Musk's defining, oh my God, what a fucking genius characteristic?
I think it's persistence. Because the SpaceX, like, the last time was really if they lost it, then everything was gone and all the money that he'd built up over many years was
audacity.
Gone. Yeah.
Audacity. Shamelessness. Yeah. The confidence, the overconfidence of a mediocre white man. That I think that's his superpower.
Like narcissism.
Frost.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's what that is.
All right, some final, very quick bullshit or not. So toilet bowl water going back the other way.
So the water swirling in the opposite direction from
Australia.
It's true.
Yes, it's true.
That's true.
Yeah. It has been challenged many times, but the underlying principle, true.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. But Australian toilets are different from American toilets.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what German toilets are like.
Well, we have the shelf in Eastern Germany. Because you have to analyze your poo. Because they want to know what's happening.
I thought moment.
They want to bring out the magnifying glass.
The flashlight and the magnifying glass.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The electron microscope.
Yeah.
I want to look at this.
But yes, the water does. It does go around the other way.
It does.
That's fascinating. Is that
it's a planet thing.
No way. Is that way, really strong?
It starts with C. What's
it's
the name?
It's a spinny thing. Now, some people that are probably more qualified than I am will try and take you off on a tangent and tell you it's not a thing, but it's fucking a thing.
It's just a thing. It's a thing. It's true.
That's fascinating. Okay.
It's true.
Never thought about
and
that.
And is the rural areas or is the country full of psycho killers?
No.
Yeah, no.
Only our next door neighbours and other people trying to grab real estate from us. The only psycho killers in this country are the real estate industry.
Yeah.
And what else is trying to fuck us up?
I don't know.
That's it.
Yeah, it's mainly real property. It's all about property.
But to come back nicely to where we started, fun web spider.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, I mean.
But would you hitchhike in Australia?
I'm too old.
I don't.
Would you allow Rory and Emmy to hitchhike in Australia?
No.
I would allow my son to hitchhike, I think.
Okay.
Well, he's a black belt, junior black belt in karate. Okay. So, you know. But I don't think he'd want to.
No.
All right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I think we've settled all the. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Scheiße oder nicht. You can call it.
Oder nicht.
You can call it Scheiße.
We got it. Well, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Points, I feel like Scheiße? I understand.
And then we'll come back in a moment and we'll talk about Jenny's invention called X Club. So stay tuned.
That's insane.
Stay tuned for that.
Give and thank.
Smells so different this year, you're over it. What's true and what is fake, I don't see the point of it, or something like that.